From NPR News in Washington, I'm Pam Coulter. For the first time in nearly 2 weeks of unrest, Egypt's vice president sat down with opposition groups. That includes the fundamentalist Muslim Brotherhood, which has been banned in Egypt for half a century. Opposition leader and Nobel Peace laureate Mohamed El-Baradei says the Mubarak regime is too closely associated with the military.
The president is a military man, the vice president is a military man, the prime minister is a military man, and I think if you really want to build confidence, you need to engage the rest of the Egyptian people.
It's still not completely business as usual in Cairo. NPR's J.J. Sutherland.
I'm standing in the middle of Tahrir Square, the center of this anti-Mubarak protest, which has brought the city to a complete halt. I mean, it's interesting. The army has completely sealed off Tahrir Square, but in the rest of Cairo, life is slowly returning to normal. Banks are open today. Shops are open. People are in the streets. There's still a curfew tonight starting at 7 o'clock, but there is sort of a sense of two Cairos, one inside Tahrir Square, where there are thousands of demonstrators whose spirit seems almost completely undimmed, but outside it seems like the rest of Cairo is trying to return to normal.
NPR's J.J. Sutherland in Cairo. Former Vice President Dick Cheney wants the Obama administration to use kid gloves in its treatment of Egypt. He says the U.S. should not push President Mubarak too hard in public.
There are good reasons for there to be confidentiality in some of those communications, and I think President Mubarak needs to be treated as he deserved over the years, because he has been a good friend.
Cheney spoke at a California event honoring former President Ronald Reagan, who would have been 100 today. Air France and airplane manufacturer Airbus are launching another search for equipment from Flight 447, which crashed in the mid-Atlantic more than a year and a half ago. Frank Browning reports this is the fourth search for the plane's black boxes.
The plane fell from the sky in the midst of severe spring storms with no communication from the cockpit beyond certain automatic transmissions, showing that nearly all the control systems had apparently failed. Three previous searches turned up wing and tail portions of the aircraft. France's transport ministry said that the new search will cost more than $12 million, on top of the $27 million already spent. A recent internal safety report at Air France cited the airline for gross inattention to safety concerns, from top management at the airline to ground control to cockpit procedures, noting particularly that senior pilots too often showed arrogance and disregard for other crew. 228 people died in the crash of Flight 447. For NPR News, I'm Frank Browning in Paris.
Ohio authorities say there was a shooting at a house just north of the Youngstown State University campus. One student was killed and 11 people were injured. No arrests have been made so far. This is NPR. A wildfire burning on the edge of Perth in Western Australia has destroyed nearly three dozen homes. There are reports one firefighter has been injured. Officials say other homes are threatened, and they've urged residents of several communities to evacuate the fire that's being fanned by strong gusty winds. The Arab world has lost one of its most influential filmmakers. 66-year-old Omar Amirli suffered a heart attack at his Damascus home. NPR's Deborah Amos says his documentaries expose social and economic ills in Syria.
His friends mourned his death, a voice one said needed now for liberty in Syria. 6 days before he died, Omar Amirli signed a declaration in support of the anti-government protest in Egypt, even as Syrian security police cracked down on demonstrations in Damascus. His early film, A Flood in Bath Country, earned him an international reputation as a courageous reporter of government corruption. Amirli's provocative public comments in the weeks before his death reflected his long-held private beliefs. "I live in a country marching to its own demise," he said, "betrayed by its rulers, deserted by its brain power, and abandoned by its intellectuals." Amirli died in his home in Damascus. Deborah Amos, NPR News, Riyadh.
The Writers Guild of America has chosen its favorite movies from last year. Inception and The Social Network won for Best Screenplay and Best Adapted Screenplay. Awards from Hollywood's professional guilds often provide hints about the Oscars, which will be handed out later this month. I'm Pam Coulter, NPR News in Washington.